I moved from Vietnam to Seattle when I was in my early 20s. My family was very poor in Vietnam, and there weren't many opportunities for me back home. I didn't know much about the places on the west coast of America, but I heard that Seattle was a welcoming city for immigrants, with plenty of ways to make good money. My little brother also moved with me in hopes of getting a good education once we could afford it. And since then, we've been working our asses off. After about a year, I became good friends with one of my coworkers. Right around then, the 4th of July was coming up. That's when the three of us planned a trip out to the best beach my friend knew about, which was a place called Ocean Shores. On the morning of July 4th, we bought some bootleg fireworks and a bottle of whiskey. Then in the evening, we piled into my friend's car and made our way to the beach. We all shared the bottle, enjoyed the views with the other beachgoers, set off fireworks. It was quite the blast. Some cops came and kicked us off the beach, saying the fun was over. We decided to head back to Seattle, but before then, we wanted to grab some snacks and soda for the road. We pulled up to the nearest gas station, and that's when our wonderful night ended. There was a small group of men standing around a case of beer in front of the store. They were waving a big flag I didn't recognize, so I asked my friend about it. He said it was the Confederate flag, or as he put it, something very bad. As soon as we stepped out of the car, all their attention was on me and my brother. They shouted nasty things at us, a lot of which I won't speak.
Hey, BTS! K-pop boys! We don't want you here!
Hey, we're leaving. We just want some sodas first.
Maybe you didn't understand my English. I said go back to your country and bide over there, dipshit!
Dude, just ignore them. They're drunk.
We managed to get into the store, but I knew it wasn't over. They were watching us through the windows. The main guy kept banging on the glass and yelling to get our attention. Then every time we caved in and looked, he would run a finger across his throat. The thought that they wanted to harm us freaked me the hell out. My friend tried to tell me they wouldn't actually do anything, but I'd never encountered such an angry person before, so I was terrified. Thinking I might need to defend myself, I looked for weapons. That's when I found some small knives on a shelf. So while the cashier was distracted, I took two out of their packaging and put them in my pocket, one for me and one for my brother. I felt bad for stealing, but I was scared of not being able to defend myself against those freaks. After a few minutes, we got what we wanted from the store and checked out, which led us to the hard part, getting past those jerks and into the car. The moment we went out the door, they were surrounding us and yelling in our faces. They kept trying to get us to fight them, but we just wanted to leave. By sticking together, we got out the store, made it to the car, and got inside. We quickly locked the doors, but then, just as we thought we were safe, they blocked us from leaving. The car was completely surrounded, so there was no way for my friend to get away without running them over. I was panicking. Out of nowhere, the same guy that was outside his window started punching the glass and screaming. I could tell he was getting under my brother's skin, but I had no idea what would happen next.
Why don't you come out of the car and make me something from Amazon?
Leave us alone, you asshole!
What did you call me? Come out and fight me then! Come on, fight me like a man, you little bitch!
Then, in the blink of an eye, my brother unlocked the door and opened it. The man outside ripped it open and pulled my brother out, then started attacking him. I rushed out to stop it, but by the time I got there, my brother was on the ground and wasn't moving, while that asshole was still standing over him and screaming at him. For the first and only time in my life, I truly lost control of myself. That's when I took the knife out of my pocket and did the unthinkable. I didn't think. I just kept stabbing him without holding myself back. I don't know how long it went before I was finally pulled off. I was relieved as I saw my brother getting up, but then I noticed what I had done to that man. He was on the ground lifeless. As the cops came and took me to jail, all I could think about was that I had ruined both my life and my brother's. I would go to prison or get deported. Then he would be on his own. Luckily, however, that wasn't the case. My trial went back and forth for months, but the jury eventually ended up in a stalemate, and I wasn't tried again. Still, what happened that night still haunts me, as I'm sure it haunts the friends and family of the man I took out. I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to protect my brother. I hope everyone can understand that. This story was inspired by a disturbing incident regarding a male named Main Duck Hong. who stabbed his harasser Christopher Kennison 23 times on the 4th of July. Hong, his brother, and a friend were all visiting from Seattle when they pulled into a Texaco station shortly after 1 a.m. to get a snack. Kennison, drinking beer with a small crowd in the parking lot, waved a Confederate battle flag and yelled racial slurs at them. Once the three were inside, Kennison banged on the store's window, pointed at them through the glass, and repeatedly drew his finger across his throat. Outside, one witness said she asked Kennison what he was doing. "It's called racism," was his reported answer. Hong stole the two small paring knives from the store, later testifying that he was frightened. Kennison and his friends screamed at the three and even spat on them as they made their way back to the car. Kennison then blocked their path when they tried to drive away, and punched Hong's brother when they got out of the car. Hong admitted that he did try to stab Kennison, but he said he was unsure if his blows had connected. The case split the town. Some complained that Hong was not being prosecuted accordingly, while others angrily criticized authorities for trying him at all, noting that Kennison had recently been involved in a series of past racially driven incidents. Hong was ultimately freed in his manslaughter trial. My second husband, Alan, was a wonderful man. He was raising his son from his first marriage when I met him, and I was also a single mother with my daughter at the time. Together, we created a new family and stayed together for years. He was a hard-working guy, of course. Despite being a grown man with children, Alan still had some immature tendencies that he needed to get sorted out. For instance, Alan had a thing where he would go overboard with drinking on certain celebrations. And no example was worse than the 4th of July. It was Alan's favorite holiday. He touted himself as the all-American patriot and made himself the center of attention every 4th of July celebration. Sadly, I don't mean that he took charge of coordinating cookouts and fireworks shows for the neighborhood, but that he would dress up like Uncle Sam and make a damn fool of himself every year. He would find out where everyone was gathering and go there after drinking a bunch of beer all afternoon. Then start dancing and yelling a bunch of nonsense. He even carried a tip jar around with him like some strung-out bum. I have to be honest, I hated it so much. Everyone else in the neighborhood seemed to love it though, egging him on and even throwing money at him. It always made me feel like I'd married a clown. It creeped the kids out too, because they would always wonder why their daddy was acting so strange and scary. I asked people around the neighborhood if we should talk to Alan. But everyone would tell me that he was just doing it to help people have a good time, and maybe scrape up a few extra bucks for us. Despite the problems I had with Alan's Uncle Sam routine, I tried my best to be supportive. But then one year, Alan threw me another curveball. He wanted to add fireworks to his act. I was immediately against the idea, as whenever he was Uncle Sam, he was pissed drunk Uncle Sam. I knew nobody that intoxicated should ever mess around with fireworks. Not even the little stuff like firecrackers, let alone anything more dangerous. Unfortunately, Alan's mind was already made up, and it caused one of our only nasty fights.
Alan, you can't do this! What kind of example is that gonna set for our kids?
Are you saying I'm too stupid to handle some fireworks? I've been setting them off my whole life and didn't get hurt. What's the difference now?
You're drunk, you idiot! I don't want you to blow your hand off!
Oh, right! Because then I wouldn't be able to work and pay for all your goddamn bills anymore, right? Or maybe because I won't be able to tickle your sausage wallet anymore.
God damn it. You know that's not what I meant.
Then get off my case, you nagging bitch. Just leave me alone or I'm calling the cops.
Our kids witnessed the fight too. Alan stormed off with his tip jar and his fireworks and left us in the dust. I had to calm the kids down for a while before we were ready to join everyone at the park. By the time we got there, Alan was even more wasted than he was when he was screaming at me. He was at the point he could barely put a coherent sentence together. But that didn't stop everyone from enjoying the yearly pre-fireworks show featuring good old Uncle Sam. They thought they were waiting until showdown for the big 4th of July show to start. But they didn't realize that Uncle Sam had brought his own gunpowder that year, so nobody was prepared to stop him.
Hear ye, hear ye. Gather round for a show of patriotism. I'm Uncle Sam, and this is my bag of trips.
Oh, God.
First things first, I need you to come on. You know. Whatever. Good enough. All right, straight to the point. My wife, the stupid bitch, thinks I can't operate this here firework rocket.
No, Alan, please.
So, for my first trick, I am gonna be the cannon. Happy 4th of July, everyone. Uncle Sam is doing it for all the Americans.
Alan, stop! Take it off!
What was that? I can't hear you over.
My entire reality shattered in that moment. It was like a scene from a horror movie, but it was real. I saw it. Our kids saw it. The entire neighborhood witnessed it. The cops were the first to arrive, but they knew there was nothing that could be done. The paramedics couldn't save him and pronounced him dead on arrival. Every 4th of July since then, this moment just plays in my head over and over again. This story was inspired by a horrific 4th of July incident regarding a South Carolina dad who was seen dancing in his front yard while dressed as Uncle Sam, moments before he passed away after igniting a large firework on the top of his head. Alan Ray McGraw, 41, had been celebrating the 4th of July on Thursday evening at a neighborhood block party in Somerville, Dorchester County, dressed as Uncle Sam. Footage captured by his wife Paige showed McGraw dancing a jig in his full festive outfit as he celebrated the holiday. Witnesses told investigators that McGraw had placed a large firework on the top hat he was wearing before lighting it, causing the device to explode. McGraw's wife told deputies she believed he placed the firework on his head to show off and was drunk at the time. McGraw was found lying irresponsive in the road by deputies who rushed to the scene after the party came to an abrupt end. It was said that the exploding device had caused massive head trauma that took out McGraw instantly. His wife Paige said she had been telling him to stop playing with the fireworks before it exploded and did what it did. She told the outlet, "He was holding this firework over his top hat. I thought he was just showboating before he set it on the ground. I didn't realize he had already lit it." I was lucky enough to have met my wife in high school, eventually marrying her and starting our own family. We had a son named Jamie. He grew up to be around 12 years old when this occurrence happened, which just happened to be on American Independence Day. It was supposed to be a good day on July 4th. My neighborhood hosted a block party at the local community park before the big annual fireworks show. When we got there, the place was already packed. There were flags waving, large groups of families dispersed everywhere, and some people out with their lawn chairs waiting for the fireworks show to start. There were food trucks along the sidewalks. That's when my wife asked if I could grab some food from the food trucks. I agreed, but just before I went, I saw him. A beat-up, dark-colored sedan pulled up across the street from the park, and in there was a young man just sitting there, watching us. He had this look that scared the shit out of me. His face was covered in tattoos. I didn't want to judge him by his appearance, but the guy looked like some gang member or someone just there trying to stir up trouble. He seemed to be intrigued by everyone, staring at the direction of some teenage girls near a taco truck. That's when I asked my wife.
Hey Claire, do you see that guy over there in the car?
Yeah? Who is that?
I don't know. Something just feels off.
He's probably just waiting for someone.
I'm gonna just grab the food. You two stay here, alright?
Of course. We'll be right here.
I walked to the nearest food truck and stood in line. I kept glancing back to see if the car had left or something, but it unfortunately was still there. The man hadn't moved. He just sat there, watching. After several minutes of waiting, I finally made it to the food truck to place my order. That's when I heard it. A loud bang, followed by another. At first, I thought the fireworks had started early, But then came the screams. I turned around and saw people running, pushing, shoving, dropping their food and drinks everywhere in a frantic state. More bangs echoed through the air, and that's when I finally realized what they were. Someone was letting off either fireworks or a firearm into the crowd. I ducked for cover, hiding along with a large group of people behind the food trucks. I was scared shitless. The only two people in my mind was my wife and son.
Claire!
I couldn't see them. People were running and scattering everywhere, making it near impossible to find them in the chaos. But after a few minutes of surveying the area, I saw her, my wife. She was lying on the ground, and Jamie was kneeling beside her, sobbing, holding her hand, screaming for help.
No! No! Somebody help us!
Ah! I couldn't stop screaming, no matter how much I tried to call for help. Everyone was in survival mode. I was helpless. I could hear the sirens from a distance, which meant the police and paramedics were on the way. But every minute seemed like forever. I was numb, barely seeing the flashing lights as they carried her to the ambulance. They wouldn't let me ride with her. They said they needed space to work on her. My son and I got to the hospital, praying and begging for the best possible outcome. But then the doctor came out and gave us the worst possible news, saying my wife had passed, and that there was nothing they could do to save her. And just like that, I lost my wife forever. I dropped to my knees in front of the doctor and lost my shit. The next day, the news exploded with headlines, and on the screen was the face of a familiar man. It was him, the guy in the car. The suspect turned out to be a 21-year-old man named Robert Cremo. Police say he is the person of interest in the random attack at the 4th of July parade. It was alleged that he was a criminal that had a long history of offenses. What makes this story all the more disturbing was that he didn't have any real motive. He didn't have any connection to anyone in the park. He just wanted to take people out. It was just random terror. Footage showed that he opened fire from his driver's seat while screaming,
"I'm gonna get ya! I'm gonna get ya! I'm gonna get ya!"
They caught him later that night. When police approached him, he was crouched on the floor, smiling back at them with no signs of remorse. It's been a year now. My son Jamie is in therapy. As for me, I barely sleep. I still see my wife Claire in my dreams, but sometimes I also see that guy. I see him smiling back at me with a firearm pointed at me. People tell me I was lucky, but it doesn't feel like luck when you lose someone important. Every time 4th of July creeps back around, my son and I stay home, because every time we hear fireworks, we think it's that guy coming back for more. This story was inspired by a disturbing incident regarding a man named Robert E. Cremo III, the suspect responsible for a deadly mass attack at a July 4th parade in Highland Park, Illinois. At least 6 people were taken out in the firearm attack, and dozens were injured. Police said the suspect appeared to carry his attack out from a rooftop. Witnesses described frantically fleeing when they realized they heard loud bang sounds and not fireworks. Authorities said that Cremo was spotted by a North Chicago officer who attempted to initiate a traffic stop. Cremo then fled and led the officers on a brief pursuit before being stopped in Lake Forest, Illinois. He has been arrested by the police and taken into custody. When asked, authorities said they are still calling Cremo a person of interest while they investigate and connect him to the scene. Allegedly, the event was scheduled to include floats, marching bands, and community entertainment as part of the city's Independence Day celebrations. But what should have been one of the happiest days of the year quickly turned into panic, with pushchairs, purses, and lawn chairs left discarded on the street as crowds fled from the scene.